ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Awabakal, Darug, and Eora people. Ever since Christmas, everyone's been asking, where is Kate Middleton?
She's had a serious operation and that she will be out of action and out of public view until after Easter.
The Princess of Wales has barely been seen since Christmas.
What is going on with Kate Middleton these days?
I've rounded up all of the Kate Middleton is missing theories on the internet.
Where is Kate Middleton?
Kate Middleton had a planned abdominal surgery in January.
She is resting with her family.
Did she have a facelift?
People think that she's on The Masked Singer.
The speculation reached a fever pitch when the royal family released a photo of Kate, one that was meant to squash all the speculation. Princess Kate, sitting outside, surrounded by her three children, all smiling and laughing for the camera. But something's not right. Zoom in on her hand, the hair, the hem of a cardigan. There's something off about this photo. If anything, it looked too perfect to be real. I have tried many times to get nice photos of my family, and even getting them all to look in the same direction is hard enough, let alone all smiling adorably at the same time, perfectly in focus with perfect light. Chaos began when news agencies like the Associated Press withdrew the picture, saying that it didn't meet their editorial standards.
Several agencies have rejected this photograph.
It's called a kill notification.
Then the princess admitted that she had had a little bit of a twiddle with it.
Potentially manipulated image of the Princess of Wales.
Photoshopping it a little before sending it out. This one photo could have serious ramifications. It may have damaged the public's trust in the royal family. In fact, other royal family photos are now being called into question. News agencies are trawling through old pictures and have discovered one from 2022 of the late Queen and her great-grandchildren, which they say has been digitally enhanced. But fake images are everywhere now. It's harmless fun when it's in a TikTok slideshow, but what if it's naked photos of a celebrity? What if it's fake photos from an election? What if it's you in the image? Can whatever spidey sense we have for detecting what's real and what's not stand up to the barrage of fake images that artificial intelligence is going to throw at us in the coming years? There's a long history of people doctoring photos. It's been a constant race between technology and human skepticism. But is a time coming where we won't be able to tell the difference? I'm Matt Bevan, and this is If You're Listening. Photo manipulation seems like a distinctly modern conundrum, but its history goes back to the invention of the camera. And in the mid-20th century, there were a number of political leaders who took full advantage of our gullibility and our belief that the camera never lies. Communist leaders like Joseph Stalin and Mao Zedong loved editing photos to remove former friends who had become enemies. Stalin had a team of guys who were tasked with blurring out the pockmarks on his face or making him seem taller than his actual height of 5'5". But the first time the public was completely fooled and a scandal erupted was via the biggest conspiracy theorist of the 1950s, US Senator Joe McCarthy. Joe McCarthy was a Republican and a veteran of World War II dive bomber missions. He went from relative obscurity to global fame in 1950 when he said that there was a secret communist conspiracy to infiltrate the top levels of US society.
I think we've got a much more serious situation now in communist infiltration of the CIA. Disturbs me beyond words.
He was the Oprah Winfrey of calling people a communist. He saw communists everywhere.
Communist, communist, communist.
In the early 50s, McCarthy ran around waving lists and demanding that people prove they weren't communists. He thought that communists were rife in government, universities, and Hollywood.
How many, Mr. Furry? Oh, five or six. Six, I guess. What were their names, Mr. Furry?
He was also hunting for
homosexuals.
Early on in his rampage, a rival senator named Millard Tidings accused McCarthy of making it all up, that the communists he was hunting were a mirage. McCarthy responded by circulating a photograph of Senator Tidings chatting conspiratorially with the head of the American Communist Party just before an election. Gotcha. But in fact, the two men had never met. McCarthy's team had taken two separate photos, cut them out with scissors, stuck them together, and then photographed the cut-together picture. They'd done a pretty bad job. The picture of Tidings had been taken 12 years earlier, and he'd aged a lot since then. Plus, there was a big black shadow over the middle of the picture to cover the stitch. But it worked. No matter how hard Tidings insisted that the photo was fake, he couldn't shake the accusation that he was connected to communists. Newspapers reported that it was a fake. One of them even published a picture showing McCarthy deep in conversation with a gorilla as an example of how composite photography was done. But it was no use. People believed what they saw with their own two eyes. They saw no reason not to. A picture tells a thousand words. This was the power of photography at the time. Tidings lost the election, and McCarthy became untouchable. Don't mess with tail gunner Joe McCarthy. You'll lose your job. This even happened in Australia. In 1970, opposition to the Vietnam War was extremely high. Federal opposition leader Gough Whitlam was critical of Australia's involvement in the war and opposed conscription. He went to speak to a large protest outside Parliament House.
This is a gathering which is being shown on all the TV in Australia, and it will bear out for everybody looking at it in Australia how orderly and dedicated your protest is against conscription and Australian involvement in Vietnam.
At the time, the federal government had its own news agency, which the Prime Minister could control. The Prime Minister, John Gorton, sent them to photograph the protest. The following day, a damning photograph was tabled in Parliament. A photo of Whitlam speaking to the crowd, standing under the flag of the Viet Cong. Gorton and his government used this to their full advantage.
It was to make it perfectly straightforward statement that he was prepared to go and talk to these people who were flying the flags of our enemies.
Whitlam denied standing anywhere near a Viet Cong flag.
There was a road between me and the people with the flag. It's the lot of any leader of the Labour Party to have this personal assault on him. And of course, the newspapers avidly collaborate in this effort.
He was attacked in Parliament and in the press. But then that pesky original print of the photo emerged. When people saw the original, it was clear that it had been cropped delicately to make it look like Whitlam was standing under a flag that was in fact hundreds of feet behind him. The public had been fooled. I think that the McCarthy and Gorton examples show something really interesting. There was a time when people could be smeared, maligned, damaged politically by a single photograph. Photographs had the power to change people's perception of a war, or a government, or of an individual person.
A picture may still be worth a thousand words, but what about that old saying, the camera never lies?
Which made it all the more disturbing when altering a photo started getting much, much easier. In 1984, which shockingly was 40 years ago, ABC reporter Ian Finlay visited the headquarters of the film company Polaroid, which was developing something new.
The process involves taking an original image or picture, putting it up on a TV screen, and then beginning to play around with it and modify it.
Ian Finlay was being shown the beginnings of what would eventually be known as photoshopping.
Operators say they can take a group photograph, for instance, and rearrange the people's heads on different shoulders. In such perfect detail, it'd be impossible to tell a change had been made.
The advertising and fashion magazine industries jumped on this technology first, but by 1990, tech company Adobe made it available to anyone who wanted it.
You can do this for $800 now. It used to cost $1 million 2 years ago.
So anybody can do it.
With a Macintosh and Photoshop, that's all you need.
Now, everyone had technology at their fingertips that could potentially fool the most savvy news consumer. Everyone, including news editors. In July 2006, clouds of smoke were a constant sight around the Lebanese capital, Beirut.
Israel said it would intensify its attacks in Lebanon, and this was the result in the southern suburbs of Beirut. Hezbollah has also stepped up its attacks on Israel.
Hezbollah and Israel were at war, and the world's media descended, capturing videos and photos of the destruction. A series of photos of smoke rising above Beirut was distributed by the newswire service Reuters. The photos were everywhere. Editors around the world, including here at the ABC, posted the image on their websites. But something wasn't right with this picture. Real patches of smoke had been copied and then pasted all over the place to make it look like there was much more smoke than in the original picture.
Smoke had been added to the image, probably using a Photoshop clone tool.
It looks like the work of a kid who has never used Photoshop before. That anyone could look at this picture and go, "Yep, looks pretty smoky in Beirut," instead of, "Yo, what's going on here," is astonishing to me with nearly 20 years of hindsight, but there you go. Almost everyone was fooled. That was back in 2006, and as we all know, Photoshop has gotten a lot better since then. The question is, has our ability to tell real from fake been able to keep up? A study in 2017 found that people can only tell when something's been Photoshopped about 60% of the time, and even fewer can tell you what's actually wrong with a picture. So the big question is, what's going to happen now that we've got artificial intelligence to help us do whatever we want with the picture, with basically no skills required? Will our ability to tell what's real and what's fake drop to zero? In March last year, a lot of journalists around the world were killing time waiting for a really big news event.
We may be about to see an extraordinary moment in history.
Everyone was waiting for the first indictment of Donald Trump.
Are we expecting Trump to be arrested this week?
Look, that's the question we're obviously all asking.
Investigative journalist Elliot Higgins, who specialises in fact-checking and in open source intelligence with his website Bellingcat, decided to pass the time while waiting for Trump's arrest by generating AI pictures of what that arrest might look like. The pictures started with Trump tussling with police, and then Trump on the run, then Trump crying in court, then getting dressed into orange prison clothes, then getting jacked in the prison gym, and then making a break for freedom. The photos, which are clearly satirical, started circulating through the internet where many thought at least some of them were real. People were fooled again. In the last year or so, AI-generated images have been flooding the internet. Some of the images are harmless, and some are not.
Global pop icon Taylor Swift spoke out in January after fake, obscene images of her spread across the web.
Apps are available everywhere that are helping people make exploitative images of anyone.
Some using AI to create explicit images without the subject's consent. Australia's eSafety Commission has started receiving complaints about school students using it on their peers.
So can we actually tell if they're real or fake? Lots of people say that the key is in the hands. AI struggles to make real-looking hands, so they often have the wrong number of fingers or the fingers are bent at weird angles. But is that it? When AI inevitably fixes the hand thing, is it going to be all over for humans? Well, there is some good news. A 2022 study by the University of Sydney asked people to look at some images. Some were real and some were fake. What the researchers found was that the subjects seemed to be able to subconsciously tell the difference between what's real and what's not, even if they couldn't explain it. So there might be some hope if we can harness that in some way. Additionally, the tech companies who are developing AI tools say that they're also developing tools to help identify fake images. I should be clear, those tools will also be using AI. For the last 100 years, humans have generally trailed behind technology, but we do catch up. Analog doctored images worked once, but now they don't. Photoshop worked once, but now not quite as well. AI is good, but is it good enough to trick the human brain? We'll see. What I can confidently say, though, is getting caught messing around with photos has always been embarrassing, and it still very much is. If You're Listening is written by me, Matt Bevan. Supervising producer is Yasmin Parry. Now, we've done our absolute best to make this episode that is all about photos work in audio form. But if you're wondering what all these pictures I've been talking about look like, the video version of the episode featuring Jacked Trump and such will be available on YouTube and ABC iView on Saturday. Oh, and look, obviously, we've only just scratched the surface of the Where Is Kate story here, but Tegan Taylor and the team at QuickSmart are on the case too. This week, they're talking about rumours, privacy and the gossip surrounding the royal family. So that's QuickSmart on the ABC Listener. I'll catch you next week.